So today is our
day, the follow-up, the ushers, the hospital visitation team. And we thank God for this privilege. It's an honor to actually serve God in this capacity. Amen. We thank God for all he's been doing, all he's been using his sons and daughters to do. And I count myself blessed to be amongst them. It's a blessing indeed to me to serve with this group. They are all some amazing men and women of God. And God has more, still more to do with them. Praise the Lord. Amen. So today I trust God is going to bring this message your way in such a way that it's going to bless your name and bring a turning point in your life. That your life won't be the same again after today. Amen. So my topic is humility is essential in our walk with God. Humility is essential in our walk with God. You know, where the Bible said, this is not our home. Right? Praise the Lord. So Jeremiah was saying the same thing. Jeremiah was saying, Jeremiah 10:23. He said, "Oh Lord, I know that the path of life of a man is not in himself. It's not within the limited ability of man, even one at his best, to choose and direct his steps." Who has the ability to choose and direct their own steps? Nobody. I like the way Message put it. Message says, "I know, God, that mere mortals can't run their own lives. That men and women don't have what it takes to take charge of life." Praise the Lord. And since you don't have what it takes to take charge of life, what do? You run to that person who has a charge, who has what it takes to take charge of your life. Amen. There's a path that seems right unto all of us, but we know the end thereof. It is a path of what? Destruction. So, however, you know, we have a song that says, "The Lord knows the way to the wilderness. All we have to do is to follow. The Lord knows the way to the wilderness. All we have to do is to follow." And that's what we're doing. Praise the Lord. Micah was saying something in that vein. Let us look at it. We have somebody to follow, and we know who we're going to follow. Praise the Lord. Who called us? Who called us? And we're going to look at him and know he's our GPS to know which way to go to navigate this life. Amen. Micah 6:8. It says, "He has told you." Okay. "He has showed you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly and to love kindness and mercy, and humble yourself and walk humbly with God." Listen to NCV. It says, "The Lord has told you, human, what is good." There's something that one left out. When it says to walk humbly with God, there's something he left out, that one. It says, "And to walk humbly with God, setting aside any overblown sense of importance or self-righteousness." And I highlighted it. Setting aside says that is what God has called you to do. To walk humbly with him. And then as you're walking humbly with him, it says to set aside any overblown sense of importance. Self-importance. That air of arrogance, air of self-importance. It says, when God says, "I've called you to walk humbly with me," and to set this aside, set it aside. Set self aside, overblown sense of importance or self-righteousness. Praise the Lord. Then the NCV said, "The Lord has told you, human, what is good. He has told you what he wants from you, to do what is right to other people." To do what? What is right to other people. That's what God wants you to do. He also says he wants you to love being kind to others. These are all fruits of the Spirit. And then to live humbly, obeying God. Praise the Lord. And then again, I'm bringing in that my highlight. It says, setting aside, that I got from the other translation. Setting aside. For you to do this, for you to be able to walk with God, it's a requirement we're seeing now. It says, living humbly with him. In other words, you have to do what? Set aside every air of what? Self-importance. Overblown sense of importance. You have to do what? Set it aside. It's a requirement. So if who wants to walk with God? We all want to walk with God. But it says that's a condition, that's a requirement. You have to set that stuff aside. Praise the Lord. So living humbly, when you look at where we just said, just means obeying God. To live a life of obedience unto God. I'm sure we all have a different interpretations of what it means to be humble. But the Bible here, this passage says, it is what? Living humbly, obeying your God. In other words, for you to say you're living a humble life, you have to live a life of obedience to God. Praise the Lord. So hear what Jesus said. Matthew 11:29. How do you navigate this world? How do you walk this walk? How do you walk with God? Jesus said, borrow a leaf from me. Matthew 11:29. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. He said, learn of me. For I am gentle. Did you see that? I am meek and humble. Lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, take my yoke. Learn of me. You're my disciples. Let me get the other translation so you see what I'm saying. He says, this is NLV. He says, follow my teachings and learn from me. He says, I am gentle, meek, and do not have pride. He says, you will have rest for your souls. For my way of carrying a load is easy, and my load is not heavy. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is our GPS. That's what he's saying. He said, he alone knows the way to that wilderness. And he says, follow me as my disciples. This is how you must walk with me. You must walk with gentleness. There shouldn't be a heart pride, a heart of pride. He says, put that aside. Just follow me. Put away your overblown sense of importance. Praise the Lord. You can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at his credential. He said, I don't have a heart of pride. If you're going to walk with him, except two agree, they cannot work together. If you're going to walk with the Lord and see results and see the power of God, you need to walk with a humble heart, humility. Jesus said, I don't have pride, so you shouldn't come with me if you have pride. Praise the Lord. So that is what we must do today. It's a thing of the heart. That's what humility is. He said, I don't have pride in my heart. It's not an attitude where you come today, you show, just to fulfill all righteousness. No. An attitude of the heart. It's not a mere outward behavior. No. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so you see, if it comes from within you, from your heart, then you will breathe it, you will talk it. Even when you're caught up, of God, you will see the humility is still there. Praise the Lord. You're not just, going with emotion. No. Jesus said, let this humility come from your heart. Because out of the heart, knows all the issues of life. Out of the heart, the abundance of the heart comes out as you talk. As you talk with people, your behavior, if it's from the heart, it will be seen. If it's an outward behavior, no. Sometimes you're caught off guard and people will see who you truly are. So Jesus said, come with me. If you're going to walk with me, come with a heart of humility. Praise the Lord. So I'm challenging you today. Jesus is saying, come, if you're walking with me, if you're going to humble yourself, be humble. I am humble. He says, I do not have pride. You also should not have pride. Because if two, except two, agree, they cannot work together. Praise the Lord. That is, Jesus said, this is my way of carrying a load. In other words, when he was here on earth, how did he carry his load? An adage, Nigerian song says, carry your load and stop complaining. Carry your load. I say, it's all right. Even non-believers, they know this, right? Carry your load and stop complaining. Carry your load. I say, it's all right. So Jesus is saying today, carry your load. Walk like I walked. Carry your load the way I carried my load in humility. Humility is necessary if you're going to walk with me. He carried his load without any pride at all. In humility, he served man. He lived here on planet Earth. Praise the Lord. And so, if Jesus went through life, this human life, with an attitude of humility, no pride, no air of self-importance, no superiority, and he's saying today, when you carry your load, when you walk this walk with me, the walk of life, navigate this life, you're going to do it in humility, no pride.
And as you do that, he said, you have rest for your soul. Blessed rest for your soul. And everything, you know, that we read there. Praise the Lord. If you want a rest for your soul, that blessed rest, then walk like Jesus. Praise the Lord in humility. Let us quickly read some Bible passages. Philippians 2, 3 to 9. I'm going to take them bit by bit. It says, do nothing from factional motive. I will read from my book. Sometimes I can't see that. Do nothing from factional motives. And then you see that bracket. It begins to tell you what factional motives is. Through contentiousness, through strife, through selfishness, or from worldly ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Do nothing. Let not whatever you do be based or come from what? Contentiousness. You're contentious. No. Or strife, or selfishness, or from worldly cause. Your attitude, your behavior, whatever your decision, your choices, your judgment, or should not be prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. It says, instead, in the true spirit of humility, that it tells what it is, lowliness of mind, it says, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself. And then it tells you the meaning, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourself. I'm not going to take time to begin to give you, enumerate all the means of contentiousness and the rest of them. Praise the Lord. So he's telling us today, no matter what happens, let not your attitude, your behavior, decisions come from what? Selfishness. It should not be coming from selfishness or pride. Let it not be your guide. Say that you should be humble and honor others more than yourselves. Not only are we to be humble before God, he's telling us here, you don't just end with God, being humble before God. Your humility should also be before others. Humility allows us to care for others, not just ourselves. Praise the Lord. Some of us are so monopolous. You monopolize yourself. Nobody can reach you but you. Nobody is important but you. Nobody matters but you. It's all about you. The world begins and ends with you. That is not our portion. We're not called to be, you know, selfish or self-centered. Praise the Lord. Humility honors their spouse. I'm going to begin to personify the word humility. Humility does what? It honors their spouse when it's mine. When they come back from work. With greetings, with hugs, with kisses, when they get home. Humility says, how was your day? It's not because, you know, my day was wrong, was awful, then I'm wearing a long thing, and I expect my spouse to also, you know, come back and start bowing before me. Humility says, honey, how was your day at work? Humility says, how was your day at home? How was your day with the kids? How did it go? Humility says, how was the headache last night? He just doesn't think about himself. He thinks about others, honors others better than themselves. Humility asks a sister or a brother, is everything okay with you? You seem very quiet. Humility accepts when they are corrected. Sister, please stop. Don't do this. Thank you. Humility says, my children, I was wrong. Please forgive me for my harsh words and my actions. Humility regards as others as better than themselves and superior to themselves. Humility thinks more highly of the other person. Praise the Lord. Do nothing through strife or conflict or contention. Strife. We've heard so much about strife. Let's read again about strife. Where does the strife come from? Why all this strife? The Bible has, we all read it every day. Proverbs 13, 10. It says, only by pride cometh what? Contention. But with the well advised is wisdom. Praise the Lord. If you see yourself contending an issue with somebody, quarreling, doing this, it's not, it's say, this person, no, she's always rubbing me off the wrong way. She always did. No. The problem is you, your pride. Praise the Lord. He says, only by pride. He didn't say anything else. Only by what? Pride. Nothing else added. Nothing else. The word of God says only by pride. All those contention, all those strife, it comes only by pride. If you don't know it, me, now I know it. Sometimes I check myself. When I'm about to go off on my husband or my children, I check it. This contention is only pride that is making me go off like that. Praise the Lord. So it's no longer blaming your spouse. Humility does not have place for pride. No. It's meek. Easily entreated. Not easily provoked. Only by pride comes contention. Praise the Lord. A sister does something now, wahala. She says hello, trouble. She doesn't say hello, trouble. She says it loud, she yells. She says it quiet, look, she can't even open her mouth. Only by pride. It is pride that is in you that is causing all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Let's look at James 3:16. He says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. The next translation says, where jealousy and selfish ambition, you see where that pride and strife being compared with jealousy, selfish ambition, and envy? He said, where they exist, there is disorder. Jesus was talking about rest for your soul. He says, there is unrest there. There is rebellion. Wherever you are, because of that jealousy, because of strife in you, because of the pride, that's always rebellion. Unrest is there. Praise the Lord. So if you are there in the group of women, you carry that katakata there. That group will be a group of what? Always, that's always rebellion there. Always unrest. In the family, if you are there, now wahala, because you brought it in there too. And then we are one. He said, there is confusion there. You are bringing that confusion. And he says, and all kinds of evil. Praise the Lord. All kinds of evil. How am I going to define that all kinds of evil? Anything goes. Death, sickness, poverty, failure, everything goes with all kinds of evil. All because somebody is what? Walking in strife. Pride is eating them up. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, Christ said, if you're going to walk with me, you have to be humble. A heart of humility, a humble heart. Praise the Lord. And you will find rest, not rebellion, not unrest. Amen? Do not merely look out for your own personal interest. It's part of it. But also for the interest of others. So we're looking at that definition, looking at selfishness from the last passage. It is also self-centeredness. Everything must be all about you. We should not always focus on ourselves. And by so doing, what are you doing? You are forgetting others. You are forgetting God. You are the only one that lives. Praise the Lord. Selfishness is not humility. It's a focus on self. But God wants you to focus on Him, on the Word of God. Do the Word. Obey the Word. That is walking humbly. It's to be Christ-like. Humility lets the husband be the head that he is. Humility submits to the leadership of the husband. Even though she brings in the bacon. You know American slang? Bringing in the bacon. You don't remember in the 70s, who brings in the bacon? The one that makes the money, the breadwinner. Even though she's the breadwinner, humility submits to the leadership of the husband. That's what I'm saying. Humility appreciates all the little things that she does to make life easy. Humility appreciates her being humble, even though she's the bacon baker. The one that brings in the breadwinner. Praise the Lord. Humility follows the Christ teaching of servant leadership. So humility goes all the way down to help out with the house chores so that the other person will not be overwhelmed. Humility doesn't just look out for his own personal interest, but also for the interest of the others around him. Praise the Lord. Humility does not speak the language of self-preservation. That wisdom is from the devil. It's not from God. People call it preservation. It is called pride. Praise God. That's how the devil started. Pride originated from him. That was his sin. And some people think that self-preservation, you know, I need to do it. Self-preservation, Elias' pride. Pride says, I must hold myself high. I don't want people walking all over me. I must not let people walk all over me. Pride reasons. If I don't care for myself or look out for myself, who will? You've heard that before, right? America says, hey, you gotta look out for yourself, baby. Nobody does if you don't. Praise the Lord. Pride tends to forget something that we want to remind pride of today, that God promised, and the God will promise, when you humble yourself, I will lift you up, I will exalt you. That God is true. Praise the Lord. Humility. Have this same, verse 5 says, have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. Then Jesus' selfless humility was explained as we go down the passage, these passages. He begins to explain this selfless humility. Verse 6. He said, who, although he existed in the form of unchanged essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it or was afraid of losing it. Verse 7, but emptied himself without renouncing or diminishing his deity, but only temporarily giving up the outward expression of divine equality and his rightful dignity by assuming the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. He became completely human, that was without sin, being fully God and fully man. After he was found in terms of his outward appearance as a man, for a divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further. He went the extra mile by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even the death on a cross. So he begins to outline all those selfless humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me do it from ERV. So you go with me. You go with every. You understand every point, every passage. He says, verse 6 to 8, ERV, Philippians 2. He says, he was like God in every way, but Jesus did not think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, Jesus, he gave up everything. He gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant, appearing in human form. During his life as a man, he humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that cost his death on a cross. Praise the Lord. So you see everything. Jesus humbled himself and continued to humble himself. First of all, he was like God in every way. But you know what? He didn't even think about that, equality. He said, okay, to use it for his own benefit. No. He gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted to be a servant, the role of a servant. That's what he did when he came to earth. Praise the Lord. And during his lifetime, he humbled himself even still further. He went the extra mile to obey to the point of dying on the cross. The death, his death, and not even ordinary death. That was the worst kind of death on the cross. Praise the Lord. He humbled himself, obedient to the Father. Jesus took the form of a servant and humbled himself. Serving not. He served and served until he went to the cross and kept on serving us. Praise the Lord. Until his death. Let's look at something. Mark 10:45 and see what Jesus says there. They follow my example. Even the Son of Man did not come for people to serve him. He came to serve others and to give his life to save many people. Praise the Lord. He wasn't afraid that he was going to lose his position. Humility is not afraid to get down low to serve others. That's what Jesus, humility is not afraid at all. Humility is not afraid to lose his position as a leader in the church, as a leader, to serve others. No. He's not afraid as a pastor, I'm going to lose my position by doing this. No. Going down on my knees. No. Humility is not afraid to lose that position as a head of the household or to use that position for his own benefit. Humility does not use his position as a pastor to lord it over the entire members of the church. Humility does not use his position as the leader in the church to lord it over other people or as a husband, to lord it over the wife and children. Humility never uses his position for its own benefit. Praise the Lord. Instead, humility uses that position to serve others, to get down and to serve others. Praise the Lord. It goes the extra mile to sacrifice their comfort. Humility goes the extra mile to say, my wife, okay, you need this thing. Okay, I think I'm going to put aside my own need. Let's get this first. Humility does not say, okay, I've not had anything today. He can go hungry. The kids can go, I need to have something. No, humility gives up her own share of the food so the kids can eat, so the husband will have a good meal. Praise the Lord. Humility sacrifices their comfort so that others will be what? Better. Praise the Lord. So for this reason also, because he obeyed so completely, humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. He obeyed. You come to the church, the ushers will say, please sit here. This one. If I'm not in the church, why would she have the God to talk to me like that? The pastor will say, do this, I'm sorry, do that. Here. He doesn't even know. Come to my office. Because I'm here in the church, he doesn't even know my word. America is a level now. That's why they're talking to me. Yes, can we go to the hospital? Hey, no. Hi, no. This, I can't stand the sight of those people. Is that humility? That is not humility. It's not talking here. Pride is talking. Arrogance is talking. But the Bible says God Christ is setting apart all those things. He wants to walk with me. You call them on the phone. Why are you not in church? Why do you want to call me? Did you see the way that there is four people in that church? Why would you want to call me? After they've insulted me. You, look at the way you are calling me. Praise the Lord. I like this translation. I don't know if we have it. It says, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Why don't we stoop low and see God exalt us? The wife, be submissive and see God exalt you. Just pray for your husband. Husband, be submissive in your own way. I'm not saying submit to her headship, but to her interest, the things that are of interest, her own interest, and see God exalt you. One day we went for water baptism. I left my pocketbook. My husband is going to kill me too. I left my pocketbook. I've been watching the pastor carry my sister's bag, pocketbook. I left my own now, so I went down to the inside the pool. So when I came back, my husband, he said, I was struggling with this thing. He left my pocketbook. And then he didn't come out at once. I knew he was struggling with it. Do I have that carrying a woman's pocketbook? So he was there. After, when I then came out, I met him. Then he said, I've been waiting for you, your pocketbook. I don't want to leave it. I said, But will he kill you if you carry my pocketbook? This was a man who and look at me, I'm not comparing him. How about the ones that I do? We're very quick to do what? To lay, to judge our spouses. And I forget it is a personality does that I can't even do. Praise the Lord. So when I'm judging the other person, how about what they do that you can't do? Praise the Lord. So, but that's what I was like, what? You should have kept. That shows you're not humble, though. You're not humble. Pastor carries personalities for can do. And I'm judging. Praise the Lord. But on my part, it is pride. Why would I expect him to carry it? I purposely let that bag stay in the south if he's going to carry it. What does that mean? Praise the Lord. And then, you know, I used to accuse my friend back home. I have a friend, medical doctor, wife, husband, nurse, my girlfriend, old girls. So now I come here, I talk about old girls. Ngozi Fabi, you must know Ngozi Fabi, maybe Fijika, meaning. So we were close for a very long time. And then we'll go out. Probably we go for an occasion, and then they introduce them. The husband was knight of saying something. I don't remember the name, whatever it was. But then I was a doctor, and then they called them to the table, but they didn't add something. That that night of Saint something, they forgot it. And so my friend was just grumbling where we were sitting down. She was grumbling. How dare you? And because you're going to make a gown, I'm not going to give them all that money. If you don't know how to respect somebody, I'm not giving them all this money. Cut wire too. I was sitting right by her and she did it. Just because she was not recognized. I was here in the church. A sister came here. I went to the bathroom and she was there. You know, she was so annoyed that nobody recognized somebody in this church. And I ran after her. I was pleading with her. She left. Praise the Lord. And see, look who is talking. You know, he will say, I want to be there. Welcome. I don't want to say this. I hate to say it, but you know, the Bible says things that you do that you will later be ashamed of. Why even do that? Somebody did something that they need to share. And say, Pastor, please forgive me. We went for something. I think it was, we went for union, the union church. We're doing something. I don't know what they were doing, but we all came in together. And then other pastors were announced. Our pastor, the poor man, was just sitting there. He also, the people that walked in later also announced them. And at the end of it, I was fuming. My name was not announced. My name, how could they do this to me? How could they do that to me? Why? You see, that's what we're saying. People of the world do it. Even now, we're doing the same thing. We're just recognizing some people and leaving the other people. I can't do that. I was fighting. I was just very angry. But you know, Pastor, you can't get away with anything. Like, I want you to know, his spirit keys in. Boom, he catches you. He caught me. Did I even apologize? I was still claiming it. She looked at me. He felt sorry for me. But I guess today, as I was preparing this, and God gave me this a long time ago. But this one didn't come up. If I knew it would come up, maybe if I had that revelation, I knew this thing was going to come up. God was going to make me, you know, bring myself out. I wouldn't do something. But as I was preparing this, it kept on coming and coming. I said, God, I was even worse than my friend, who was an unbeliever. He's a believer. And I heard that grudge on the pastor. Just do anything, we just fought with boom in the spirit. You know, some that was there praying that I did something on the road. They were saying, somebody, God is asking you, why are you even crying? Is it that you don't even have faith in God? I'm like, Pastor, just Papa, why? I'm not coming out there. He said, call me. So this other day, when he came knocking on the door, I said, Jesus, okay, here he comes again. He said, something is wrong. You know, the one warning is that even after that, I didn't even know that, you know, it was pride until when I started preparing this topic. And guess what? As we go along, you see what it can do to you. It can hinder you. It can hinder the power of God, pride in your life. It can hinder your grace. It can stop you. You're looking for anointing. You're looking for grace to be this, to do that. It can stop you right short. Praise the Lord. Humility. God wants us to walk in humility. Sometimes we're angry. Let's look at what God says about anger, forgiveness. Ephesians 4:26-27 is the passage you know very well. It says, be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin. How? By grudging, holding a grudge, nurturing anger, or harboring resentment, or cultivating bitterness. Praise the Lord. That is how anger comes in. When we let the sun go down, how do you let it? By persisting in our anger. It becomes a sin where there's a carry over anger. You carry it over. You're holding that drought. You're nurturing that anger. Harboring resentment. It becomes a sin. Praise the Lord. People involved, without two sisters, without the brothers, without husband and wife, each of us are, you know, you're persisting on your own, manifesting your own threats. You're showing the anger and everything in you. And the problem is not resolved. That particular day, it becomes what is seen according to this passage. So I had a man said, let the day of anger be the day of reconciliation. Pride will stop you. Who will let you? So let the day of that anger be the day of what? Reconciliation. If you don't do that, the devil, you're giving the devil a foothold. You're giving an evil into your life to come in and begin to play havoc. Praise the Lord. The Bible says a lot about reconciliation. Let's look at this passage. I've been using this all the time. Matthew 5:23-24. It says, So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, offering a sacrifice to God, and suddenly remember that a friend, let me read from what he has, mine is different. And then you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. It says, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. It says, leave it there. See what he's saying here? If you're, you know, if somebody has a friend of yours, if you're offended, you know, if you offend or wrong somebody has something against you, which means that you have offended somebody, you've wronged somebody. He says, go at once and initiate reconciliation. Right? If you offend somebody, right? That is easy for us, right? Right? When you offend somebody, you can go and, you know, effect that, you can reconcile with that person, ask for forgiveness. Okay, let's all look at Matthew 18:15. He says, Matthew 18:15. If your brother wrongs you, now, you're not offending them, you're not the offended. You are the offender, you're not the offender. If your brother wrongs you, go and show him his fault between you and him, privately. If he listens to you, you have won back your brother. So this passage is saying, even when somebody wrongs you, you've been wronged. It says, but you yourself should go and effect a reconciliation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you wrong somebody, reconcile with them. They wrong you, go after them, reconcile with them. Where in the Bible did God give us that the right to continue to stay in unforgiveness and bitterness and anger? Nowhere. But humility is the only thing that can do what we're talking about. Pride will not do that. Humility goes after somebody. The Bible says to pursue peace with all means. They go after you. Even though you wrong them. Humility does that. But pride will be on the way. Praise the Lord. And God says, if you're going to walk with me to experience this rest I'm talking about, walk with me in humility. For two cannot walk together except they agree. Praise the Lord. And so what is the cause of all the conflict? It's not because your spouse, it's not because of his conduct. It's not because the other sister is too assuming. It's not because you're treated unfairly in the church. It's not because your siblings are bad. It's not because of this brother or that brother, no, or this sister, no. It's all because of you, the pride in you. Praise the Lord. Because of conflict. Let's see James 4:1. He says, what leads to discord and feuds? And how do conflicts, which is quarrels and fightings, originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are warring, ever warring in your bodily members? Ever warring in your bodily members. Those sensual desires of the flesh. They greeted me. They greet me. It's all about you. Joyce Meyer said, why me? I don't know how she said it. Me. Something like me. When I forgot a long time ago. Praise the Lord. It's always about you. That is why this conflict is arising. And let me look at this message, which is a good way. The message says, where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? He says, think again. They come about because you want your own way. Again, you're seeing selfishness, right? You're seeing it. Because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourself. You're fighting for it in yourself. You're fighting. You just can't even stop. Praise the Lord. That is how you, wherever you go, there's conflict. Because it's right there in you. Praise the Lord. So you bring that conflict wherever you go. If you're not working with humble people, you'll just set the place ablaze. Most of our problems are as a result of pride. I'm telling you that. We can, from what we've just seen, we can walk in humility and we can have the rest that Christ has promised us. No pride, there'll be no conflict. Praise the Lord. A prideful person is not easily entreated. It's a horrible thing. Let us look at James 3:13-17. James 3:13-17. It says, who is wise? King James. Who is wise? And endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, is sensual, and is devilish. Praise the Lord. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'm telling you, don't be, you know what Americans call, it's my way or the highway attitude. You know what they call, it's my way or the highway attitude? AD, I think you should know that. What they call, it's my way or the highway attitude. Yes, right. It's my way. They just have to give in. I just can't stand this. It's enough. Enough is enough. They have to stop. It's my way or the highway attitude. Do not be like that. Don't have that attitude. This wisdom is devilish. Praise the Lord. It produces strife. That is all it produces. Strife. Praise God. So let us go quickly to the next passage. We're going to do James 4, 6 to 8. And so I've been hammering about pride, humble, don't be prideful, don't be proud, be humble, be humble. James 4, verse 6. Okay. It says, but he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit. I was talking about that. So grace is the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud, 7, and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. I think I'm going to stop there. So God gives us more and more grace. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to meet all those evil tendencies that we're talking about. The grace of God. If you stay in the place of humility, his grace flows. It's already provided. But your pride is going to, our pride hinders that grace. We want more revelation knowledge. We want more understanding. We want more this and more that to grow, to be what God wants us to be. And it's not happening. You know why? Something. The grace has been provided. Praise the Lord. But we cannot receive it. The pride won't let us receive what God has already provided for us. Praise the Lord. Whatever it is that you need, grace to be the good husband, grace to be the good wife, grace to minister, grace to understand the word of God, grace to receive that revelation knowledge, grace to handle a situation the way you ought to handle it, grace to be whatever you desire of God, whatever God wants you to be, grace to be, you cannot walk with pride and the grace, manifest in your life. Praise the Lord. He says, God sets himself against the proud. My goodness, God opposes the proud. If God begins, I don't even want to think about that. It's unthinkable that God will oppose somebody. What am I living for? Praise the Lord. So this is a time I want us to, with just a kind of spirit, where you just stay back. Go back on God. What is happening to me? Am I the one that you're talking to? Help me to overcome this pride and begin to go to the word of God and see what God says to do and begin to do it. And humble, so the grace that God has provided will begin to flow, be manifest in your life. And you can be the husband you want to be, the daughter you want to be, the wife you want to be, the child of God, whatever God, you're successful, you're whatever God has ordained for you. As soon as you begin to walk in humility, the grace to be all that will be there. Praise the Lord. Let us look at people who are not taking God seriously. Proverbs 3:34 says, though he scoffs at the scoffers and scorns at the scorners, yet he gives his grace undeserved favor. That is what it is. To the humble, those who give up self-importance. Make yourself of no importance. That's what we say. Make yourself of no importance now. And watch God now. You can't do it yourself. You can't fight for yourself. You want to promote yourself. It doesn't work. But when you bring yourself, he says, they made themselves, he says, what the world we saw before, we put themselves down low. God will do what? He will lift you up. He will raise you. Praise the Lord. He will give you more and more grace. Amen.
So without humility, with humility, you're turning away from self-righteousness. You're dying to self. You will continually receive more and more grace to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Praise the Lord. So the more grace, the more humble you are, the more grace, the grace that God has provided, will begin to be made manifest in your life. It is just proportional to humility. The more grace, the more humble you are, the more humility you show, the more and more grace, the more and more grace that you begin to manifest in your life. It says, so submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. So God is saying here, since God opposes, the verse we're reading now, it says, so submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him. And so God is saying, okay, now, the passage is saying now, since God opposes the proud, or I'm saying, since God opposes the proud, and he pours out grace on the humble, we should therefore, if because of that, you should therefore submit, or humble yourself to God, humble yourself to the word of God, to his plans, to his purpose. Humble yourself. Praise the Lord. You are to submit to God in everything, every decision, every choice. Submit. I do even ask God, in your marriage, in your business, as a husband, as a wife, submit to the word of God. What does God say? He speaks in his word. If you're waiting for him to speak audibly, he speaks in his word. Praise the Lord. And stand firm. Push back against the devil. When he's whispering all those nonsense, you know, how can she talk to me like that? How can you do that? No. Stand firm. Push back. Praise the Lord. When you stand firm, you're resisting the devil. And what will happen? He will flee. Praise the Lord. So you can't resist the devil if you're still giving in to pride. Amen? He said, come close to God with a contrite heart. How do you come close to God? He says, with a contrite heart. David says, he comes with a contrite heart. That's David was talking about contrite heart. Says, come close to God. When you come to God, come with a contrite, with a humble heart, a contrite heart, a heart that is contrite, ready, to hear the word of God, ready to listen, ready to do the word of God. Says he will come close. When you come close to God, that he will come close to you. Otherwise, God will be dealing with you from afar off. Nobody wants God to deal with them from afar. He says, come close to God, he comes close to you. Look at Isaiah 66, verse 2. It says, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in heart, and they tremble at my word. Praise the Lord. And then Psalm 138, verse 6 says, though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. I don't want God to know me from afar off. I want that intimacy with God. Praise the Lord. And walking in humility brings me closer to God. As I submit to God, I'm listening. I'm not submitting to the devil. I'm getting closer and closer. I'm walking in humility. I'm coming close. God is coming close. I'm developing intimacy. You know, I'm coming to a place of intimacy with my Maker. Praise the Lord. But when I'm walking in pride, he deals with you what? From afar off. That's what Psalm 138 says. Praise God. You can't go get close to God if you're proud. Praise the Lord. And see how God treats them. I think I read that passage before. So what are you? How do you treat others? How do you treat others, you know, with humility? Do you treat them with love? Do you honor them? Or do you disdain them? If you treat them with humility, God will also exalt you. But if you treat them like this passage says, God treats the arrogant as they treat others. I don't want God to treat me, you know, that way. Says that's Proverbs 3:34. The voice. Translation. It says, God treats the arrogant as they treat others, mocking the mockers, scorning the scoffer, but he pours out his grace on the humble. Praise the Lord. So humble yourself with an attitude of repentance. Attitude. Come with a contrite heart. It says, not going to the motion like some people do. You know? It says, come to God. Come. It says, come to God with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Who wants to be exalted? Come with an insignificant attitude. Who wants to be lifted up? He says, I will lift you up. I will exalt you. I will give you purpose. Praise the Lord. How some of us, you know, saying, God, that, you know, show me, prove, you know, reveal to me your purpose. You know,
Just come to God, and you don't need to pray. Praise the Lord. He will lift you up. He will exalt you. He will give you purpose. Amen. Humble yourself under God. If you want promotion, this is a quick way of getting it. Come to God in a spirit of humility. Cease from your own wisdom and self-importance. Humility first, and then you will be promoted. Amen. Let's read again 1 Peter 5, 5 to 8. It says, likewise, you younger men, of lesser rank and experience, be subject to your elders. That's something we don't see in this society. Be subject, submissive to your elders. It says, be subject. That's how you do. That's how you do it. In the household of God, in the body of Christ, we know that. So whether we're born here, you know, the Bible says, be subject, submissive to the elders. Be subject to your elders. Seek their counsel. Some of us think we know too much. So you can't even seek their counsel. It says, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. You, the elder, in the household of God, you, the elder, are speaking to you, and you, the younger ones, are speaking to you. Each of us should treat each other with what? Humility. It says, tie on the servant's apron. Ready to serve each other. That's the servant's apron. Humility. That's humility. A humble spirit. We are called to serve, and Jesus showed us how to do that. To do otherwise with the lack of humility, to be prideful. And God says what? He opposes the proud, the disdainful, the scornful, and then he pours out more and more grace to the humble. And guess what? And he says, and he defeats them. And he does what? He defeats the prideful. He defeats the disdainful. He defeats the ones that think that they are superior. It says mean and superior. He defeats the presumptuous people. After defeating them, then he comes back to you. Because he stood so low and begin to pour his grace upon your life. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. That he may exalt you, lift you up, give you a purpose at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him. What I want to bring out here is this. He says, knowing this, that God is opposed to the proud and the disdainful, and that he defeats them. He says, and then he gives grace to the humble. He now advises us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us at the proper time. That's a proper time. He will exalt you. But if you fight for it yourself, you're not going to get it. Praise the Lord. Then he tells us something. How do we begin to, you know, humble ourselves? Verse 7, there's a connection between verse 6 and 7. Say, therefore, verse 6, can you put back verse 6, please? He says, therefore, humble yourselves. Lower yourselves in your own estimation. In your own estimation, you may be whatever you are. He says, lower yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. You can see the comma continuation. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties and your worries, all of them, your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So what is God telling us here? How do you, pride will stop you from casting, if you see yourself not casting your anxieties on him, he says it's because you're prideful. He says, humble yourself. How do you humble yourself? He says, by casting all your anxieties. You know, that thing, when I read it, I said, wow. How do I humble myself? By casting all my anxieties on him. If I don't cast my anxieties on him, he doesn't show humility. It's because I'm what? Prideful. I just couldn't take that. Since then, I've been battling. I said, God, please help me. So when you see yourself, you think you're humble, you're carrying your load, you're suffering, you know, the devil is beating you back and forth, you know, forward and back, blue and black, whatever. You cast, if you're humble, the Bible says, God says, casting all your cares, casting all your cares and your worries on him because he cares for you. Do you trust him that he cares for you? If you trust him, if you're walking in the place of humility, you will trust God and you will cast those anxieties upon him. So if you're here today and you're still carrying your worries, you're still carrying them yourself, your load, Jesus said, this is the way I do it, in humility. The Bible says, God says, if you are walking with me, cast them upon me. If you trust me that I care for you, cast your bodies upon me. Praise the Lord. If you're not casting your bodies upon him, then you're not walking in humility. Praise the Lord. Pride is what is stopping us from casting all our bodies. I'm not saying, did you just read it? When you go home, take time to read it. That is what he's saying. Obey. Obey. Be humble. Casting all your bodies upon him. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you trust that promise and he cares for you. Praise God. Isaiah 51 verse 12 says, God says to the anxious Israel that their problem is pride. This is going to just buttress the point I'm making. He says, your problem is pride. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who died, and of the Son of Man who is made like grass, that you have forgotten the Lord your Maker? Did you see what is happening here? God says, who are you? Who are you that you are afraid of man? And you think that because you are humble, you are afraid. God said, no. He said, it is your pride. That's why you are afraid of man. You cannot trust him. That goes back to what we're saying there. Praise the Lord. He says, who are you that you are afraid of man who died? Praise God. And then the Son of Man who is made like that. You have forgotten me, your Maker. Praise the Lord. Who are you to do that? God wants us, his children, not to be afraid, to show our trust and our humility as we do what? Cast all our burdens upon him and not be afraid of what tomorrow will bring. Just keep casting your anxiety upon the Lord, trusting the promise that he cares for you and has the power and the wisdom to make it happen for you, whatever you're trusting him for. Praise the Lord. Pride is a horrible thing. Some passage, you know, let's look at Proverbs 6:16. It says, these 6 things the Lord hates, indeed, even are repulsive to him. A proud look, attitude, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others. Praise the Lord. That is number one that is mentioned. That is what pride does. Isaiah 2:11 says, the proud look of man will be degraded, and the arrogance of men will be humbled, and the Lord will be exalted on that day. Praise the Lord. When you go back, you read 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 to 17. When God has Samuel told Saul what God asked him to do, he was sent on appointment to, you know, he made a king over Israel. And God said to go to the Amalekites. The Amalekites tried to stop them from going to Canaan. God says he will punish them. He says, go and kill everything, everybody, don't spare anything. But what did Paul do? Saul, the king, he went there, he took hold of the king Agag and kept him because he was too good to die. And some other animals that they had, they kept them. They didn't do what God said. And guess what? God sent Samuel back. And God said, when thou was little in thy own sight, when thou was little in thy own sight, it's like you say, when you were little, I made you a king, you're obeying me. But now you've grown. Now you've grown. Now you're proud. Praise the Lord. Always be little in your own eyes. Always have that humble look. Always have that attitude of what? Insignificance. And God will continue to walk with you and continue to lift you up. Amen? Even when they tell you something here, you may be greater than them. Your position and everything. The man of God here, you may be greater. You have everything. But humble yourself and watch God do what? Lift you up. Pride can deceive you. Obadiah verse 1, 3 to 4. I want you to see what else happened in that first Samuel. Samuel began to tell Saul, say, disobedience is as bad as the sin of sorcery. Pride is as bad as the sin of worshipping idols. So this pride, and you know, it is pride that causes us to be disobedient. And God began to liken it to the sin of sorcery, witchcraft, and the other one, idolatry. That is what it is. It is huge, right? But when we are walking in pride, we don't even know it. Praise God. So 2 Chronicles, we see another story. I jumped the other one. 2 Chronicles 26, let me just take it. It says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones without. And then his name spread abroad. That was the king. For he was marvelously helped till he was strong. So when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. That is what pride does. There is never a fall without pride. there is never destruction. It says, when his heart, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. So if God wants to walk with you, he's walking with you, and pride comes in, you go all the way down again. So, but the strength and success, see how message put that in. Says, but the strength and success went to his head, arrogant and proud. He fell. Praise the Lord. When you begin to be blessed by God and you begin to get arrogant, watch out. You know how riches do. They develop wings and they desire to overnight. Praise the Lord. So pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 16:18. And haughtiness before a fall. Praise the Lord. So I want to today to plead with you. God said, if you want to walk with me, come in humility. Make yourself of no repute. Go all the way down, and I'll bring you up. I oppose the proud, but I pour out more and more grace upon the humble. Whatever grace it is that you want in your life, to be whatever God has ordained you to be, when you begin to walk in humility, the grace of God will be made manifest for that situation. Praise the Lord. I'm going to end with this verse, Proverbs 22, verse 4. Respect the Lord and be humble. Then you have wealth, you have riches, you have honor, and you have a true life. So the way up in God's kingdom is what? Down. Before honor, there is what? Humility. Before honor, there is humility. When we operate in a position of humility, what follows us is honor. Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.